It's showtime.
Go head on with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head on with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Pycod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy. And here we go, off and running on the final full week of the month of April 2024. It is the 22nd day of April 2024. It is my dearest friend in the world's birthday. I mean by that, Annette. So, happy birthday to her. And, got her German chocolate cake today, and she said it was just yummy. So there's that. But more than that, how's this for irony? Oh, hi, I'm Robin. I thought the goddess of irony really did a number with this one today. Of course, Orange Julius Geezer's trial began today, the first criminal trial of a former president in the, oh, let's see, where are we, 237-year history of this constitutional republic, and we've never had a man who was president of the United States be anywhere near as crooked as Donald J. Trump. The J stands for jailbird in waiting. And his trial opened today, the 22nd day of April 2024, which just also so happens to be the 30th anniversary of the shuffling off this here mortal coil of the second crookedest president in the history of this young republic. I'm talking, of course, about Richard Milhouse Pinhead, thank you, Harry Truman, Nixon, who died on this day in 1994 and has been, well, if you believe in that sort of thing, I don't know if he's the only Quaker in hell, but I'm guessing Quakers in hell are at least a slight minority. I have no doubt there's a lot of Southern Baptists there and no small number of popes. But, yeah, on the very same day that Nitwit Nero's trial began, criminal trial, well, 30 years previous, in the very same city, I'm almost certain, Richard M. Nixon breathed his last. How about that, sports fans? Yeah. Lovely day here today. We didn't get up much past 50, but we had some gusty winds making it even colder, but we had sunshine. I had a doctor's appointment. I had to go. Insurance makes me crazy. I had to go and set up a full appointment to try to get a referral for a and I'd never heard of this before, a reconstructive CT scan with 1 millimeter cuts. I don't speak CT, so I don't even know what that means. But I went and I paid my copay in order to be told that they had no idea what it was either, but they would call around and try to find out, and they doubted it could be done anywhere in the state of West Virginia. So that's just flipping awesome. I may have to drive back down to Duke for it, or I don't know, maybe the University of Virginia, or oh, who knows? I don't know, maybe Cleveland Clinic. We're looking around, trying to figure this out. Just another complication. But I'm getting ahead of myself. Every program here at the Horn begins with gratitude, and this program is no different. And so, consequently, we say thank you to our 22nd, 21st, and 20th day of the month subscribers. And that means most kind thanks to Felicia in Southern California, formerly of Nebraska. Thank you, Colin. Thank you to Tracy, lady cab driver. Thank you, Charlie, so very much. Thank you to Reverbo and Armand and Vincent. Thank you to Dr. John out in New Mexico. Thank you, Ralphs. And thanks to Karen and Gary. Thank you so much. And so that, in particular, Karen and Gary met the challenge that came in late on Friday and got us into, it got us into fundraising for actual Friday's total. So we've got $250 to go for Friday. And since this is the last full week of April, we'll add that to the 2 days next week. So that's 7 days. And so we have $2,350 to go to finish the month of April. Fingers crossed. Any help is good help over at headon.live. There's a PayPal button on the main page there. And that's if you want to use Patreon, that's under the Contribute tab. So if we can knock all that down, thank you most kindly. So we'll try to knock out last week, this evening. And if we get clear and finish April fully funded, I can get the biggest part of the bills paid and the most important ones, without a doubt. So, again, thanks to everyone who jumps in and helps out. And will help out as we move toward the end of the month. My goodness gracious, May is almost here. Randy Radar points out the Quakers that I know are very attached to their money, despite that inconvenient passage in the Bible about the eye of a needle and a rich man, so you may have underestimated the number of Quakers in hell. Hey, well, I think that's all, you know, anything you do about anybody in hell who isn't, you know, Rush Limbaugh, is guesstimating at best. 1 millimeter cuts, Emilio says, sounds like you were carved like a Christmas ham, virtually speaking, for imaging. Apparently so. I mean, my head as a spiral sliced ham. Well, there went dinner in the Eastern Daylight Time Zone, and we're only 12 minutes into the program. Hey! Never a dull moment. Lou with a note said, I was listening to a podcast about Matt, it just gets worse. When he was newly elected, he asked the former speaker how to get into the Armed Forces Committee, he told him to contribute $75,000 to a Republican organization. Matt gave $150,000 and was put on the Armed Forces Committee and another committee as well. Is this America? Further, I saw a post last weekend that if Obama had urged 10,000 Black Lives Matter people to interrupt Congress, Obama would be in jail and not allowed to run for president again. Even worse, Obama would then be forced to watch endless loops of the Mets playing. You know, I think in Lou's world, there's never a bad day for gooning on the Mets, and by extension, on Mets fans. So thanks for that, Lou. I have a note from Joey and the gang. Giraffrey the giraffe starts it all off.
Joey would like to discuss MLK for the rest of this month, considering April was an impactful month for Martin Luther King Jr. For instance, on April 12, 1963, the Reverend Martin Luther King Jr. was arrested along with several fellow civil rights leaders in Birmingham, Alabama. He wrote a letter supporting civil rights from the Birmingham jail while incarcerated. On April 3, 1968, Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. delivered a speech in support of the striking sanitation workers at Mason Temple in Memphis, Tennessee, the day before he was assassinated on April 4, 1968.
And Joey steps in. Thank you, Jeffrey. Giraffrey, you're so correct. Because of MLK, April was so impactful for so many. Yeah, speaking of April in Tennessee, did you see what happened recently in Chattanooga?
Yes, Junior. Chattanooga played a key role during the Civil War, as Lookout Mountain is located in Chattanooga and was a key fortress during the Civil War days. Lookout Mountain stands nearly 2,000 feet tall, and over seven states can be seen on a clear day.
Sea Rock City. See seven states. See Ruby Falls. Once upon a time, it was a great way for a farmer to get his barn painted. In some areas of the country, with Sea Rock City, the Sea Rock City logo and Sea Ruby Falls and Sea Seven States. In other parts of the country, farmers got their barns painted with the mail pouch tobacco sign. Back when I was a young scholar, the Blue Tick Tavern in the basement of the Mountain Lair Student Union had a huge full-size mail pouch tobacco barn painting on the wall of the place that had actually been painted there by one of the guys who used to do the barn paintings for the tobacco company that made mail pouch tobacco. Anyway, Junior notes,
yes, the Chattanooga Lookout is a wonderful and beautiful place, but last week the United Auto Workers' decision to unionize was mountainumental. Oh, dear. And instead of Chattanooga Lookout, it's more like Lookout Chattanooga.
Well, you're so correct, Junior. All the chat in Chattanooga is driven by the fact that last week Volkswagen employees voted overwhelmingly to join the United Auto Workers Union. This is a truly big deal, or as President Joe Biden, who recently walked the union picket lines, might say, this is a big fucking deal. Sorry, Junior, I was just quoting the president.
Yes, this is a big deal. And notice to the mainstream media,
Joey, you mean the lamestream media?
Yes, Junior, good point. The lamestream media, most of whom have no labor reporters, have barely mentioned the UAW news, but this marks a major turning point for organized labor because so many companies from the North have gone south, literally and figuratively, to non-union states such as Tennessee just to destroy the rights of union workers. The victory in Chattanooga is the first successful organizing effort of an automaker outside of Detroit's Big Three and the first major union victory in the South. Thank you, MLK, all those years ago, for fighting for working people in Tennessee. Volkswagen had told workers in a very Republican area that the UAW equals Biden and that the union would turn Chattanooga into Detroit. Six southern state governors attacked the union as a threat to liberty and freedoms. We talked about that on the program last week. And in a joint statement, condemned the UAW's push to organize in their states.
However, the union and the workers basically told those governors to go fuck off. Sorry, Junior, and organized anyway. Now the union workers will have rights, liberty, and freedom to earn a decent wage and live a better life.
On Christmas Day, 1991, President Mikhail Gorbachev resigned, virtually marking the end of the Soviet Union. This meant the end of the Cold War, in which many Americans had come to define the difference between communism, socialism, and totalitarianism, capitalism. With people like Paul Manafort, Roger Stone, and Donald Trump so anxious to tear the Soviet Union apart because of the socialism that it represented, now we're ready to tear the United States apart because of the so-called socialism that the U.S. represented. Ironically, the same people that were so anxious to break up the Soviet Union back then, today, are actively advocating and supporting Putin's imperial efforts to restore the old USSR in order that he can be a fascist dictator that could literally attempt to take and conquer all of Europe.
For all these right-wingers that seem to hate unions, they sure seem anxious to support the return of the Soviet Union.
Oh, good job, Junior. Great point.
Oh, look, it's little Joey, too. For over 100 years, workers and unions have taken action to create better work for all. Sick pay, annual leave, Medicare, high wages, work safety laws, paid parental leave. These are fundamental rights that we have won that have benefited generations of Australians.
Well, wonderful point, Joey, too, about your wonderful country.
It is truly disgusting to watch the Republican Fascist Party led by people like Moscow Marge.
I refer to as Mass Cow Marge, the Neanderthal bloated baboon that all she does is fling her poo in Congress and State of the Union addresses.
Now, Junior, we don't normally call people names, but Mass Cow Marge, in case, we will make an exception.
Republicans in Congress have nothing to offer the middle class or the hardworking people of America. They're taking orders from Trump and Putin. I was so happy that Congress was able to pass a $95 billion package to aid Ukraine, Taiwan, Gaza, and others. Thank you, Democrats, for circumventing and maneuvering around Putin, Trump, and the likes of Marge at Large, Taylor Grief. With tomorrow being Passover, I'd like to salute 3 Jewish members of Congress for the way they've handled those rogue Republicans in recent congressional hearings. Jared Moskowitz of Florida just toys with these idiots in Congress and makes fools of them. Jamie Raskin, the constitutional genius, runs circles around the likes of Marge Tailored Grievance and James Comrade Comer. I especially enjoyed the way Adam Schiff took down Robert Ben-Hur following Hur's inappropriate vindictive attack on President Joe Biden. Good job, guys.
Now, I think there's some misgendering going on of Hur. They refer to Hur as him and him as her. Now, is Hur a him or her?
Oh, God, Junior, I ruined an entire program one evening doing that. Don't start it again.
Well, in this case, her is a him and him is a her. However, after Adam Schiff took care of him, he was hurting. Oh. Rama Lama. Ding, ding.
Trump is now confined to a courtroom these days and is not adhering to the proper decorum of the courtroom with his inappropriate verbal outbursts and attempts to intimidate jurors through his apparent flatulence. In Trump's case, he has flatulence coming out of his mouth and his ass.
Does this mean he's talking out of his ass again?
Yes, Junior. Last week, the judge gave instructions to Trump on what is expected of him in the courtroom, and Trump just farted out loud. The judge then replied, and that is a court odor.
Oh, dear God.
They'll probably have to install those cancer-causing windmills around Trump to help absorb the stench.
Trump is really full of shit, if you ask me. It's all kind of bullshit.
Yes, Junior, you may remember Teddy Roosevelt's Bull Moose Party. Well, considering Trump is full of bull and aspires to be a dictator, Trump can run on the Bull Mussolini Party.
This has been Joey's Journal for an Earth Day, Moran Monday, the 22nd day of April, with Giraffe on this Earth Day urging all to get a windmill to ward off the stench of old right-wing bullshit. And there's a $25 Bull Mussolini challenge on the table. So thank you, Joey, for that. The $25 Bull Mussolini challenge, and that'll get us down to $200 to go for last Friday. And if it's met, of course. And then we'll work on the rest of Friday and maybe try to take on today, too. Thanks again, Joey. Oh, Randy Radar, thank you for that
tech update. It appears, according to Randy Radar, that over on Apple Music or Apple Podcasts, that Apple has finally caught up with our feed and that all of the programs are apparently now available. So, that's helpful. So at any rate, Nitwit Nero was in an absolute hissy because he had to be two places at once today. Only Judge Mershon wouldn't let him be in the other place. He would much rather have been in the courtroom fighting or arguing over the crappy little $175 million bond that he put up from Knight Specialty Insurance to stand good for the $464 million judgment that the state of New York has against him for the disgorgement of the funds out of which he defrauded the people of the state of New York. No, instead he had to sit in the courtroom, as I predicted, and listen to his sins enumerated one by one in the opening statement of the state of New York. You can tell the level of desperation involved by the rhetoric used in his opening statement by his pettifogger, Todd Blanche, who the first words out of whose mouth this morning were, "Donald Trump is innocent." And when I read that, because of course we can't watch this trial because I guess we're not American enough. I don't know. But we can't watch it, so we have to rely on pixel-stained wretches for their analysis of what happened, and I'm not being critical of them. But that little bit of legal legerdemain, I thought, spoke volumes. Because no one has ever come out of a trial having been found by a jury to be innocent. There's guilty, not guilty, mistrial, and hung jury. None of those things equal innocence. He will be evidence will demonstrate and has already begun to demonstrate that he's guilty. But there's guilt and there's guilt. And this is this may seem like a distinction without a difference, but it isn't. He could be found as guilty as sin itself. But the jury has to be sure that he is guilty beyond a reasonable doubt. Which is not the same thing as all doubt. Reasonable doubts are different from any doubts. I mean, a doubt about his guilt could come from, some juror thinking it wasn't really Donald Trump who did all those things, but instead a shape-shifting member of the amorphous, multi-limbed aliens from Norblap 9. But that would not be, you see, a reasonable doubt. That's an unreasonable doubt. And so he's already sitting at counsel table and shaking his head and making trying to influence the jury with, I guess you'd call it, his body language. But
They had what was called, and we discussed this last week, a Sandoval hearing to, in advance, determine the admissibility of evidence that would be obtained if, in fact, Nitwit Nero takes the stand and subjects himself to cross-examination. We've talked about this before, and in fact, we've talked about it for so long that this goes back to before the passing of our dear friend Scott. I remember being on the air with Scott, and we listened to the dialogue from the cross-examination scene from the Kane Mutiny. And Humphrey Bogart rather precipitously falling apart. As he rattled those two steel ball bearings in his fingers and talked about the strawberries. Well, as part of the Sandoval hearing, Judge Mershon read off a list of findings that have already been made in court that the state's prosecutors can, in fact, cross-examine him about. And so, for instance, he said the prosecution could use the Access Hollywood tape, you know, the grab 'em by the pussy tape. He said each and every one of Nitwit Nero's violations of various and sundry gag orders can come in. The judgment against him in his civil fraud case, the $454 million in damages, can come in. You know, it's right there in the Miranda warning. Anything you say can and will be used against you in a court of law. Hence the t-shirt, you have the right to remain silent. Why don't you try it for a change? And so all of that can come in, and he will be obliged to sit and listen. And to and he will see the impact that it has on the jury. Judge Mershon also said that the prosecution can bring in both of the judgments for defamation, as well as the finding that he sexually abused E. Jean Carroll. All of which had Nitwit Nero bobbing his head like a puppet, shaking his head, no, no, no. I don't know if it's too early in this Moran Monday to mention the sage from South Carolina stand, but as Sage Todd said, and we reiterate on a daily basis, y'all, he ain't gonna make it. And, of course, he keeps saying that he is going to take the stand and subject himself to that withering cross. And so, consequently, Michael Cohen, whose name figured prominently in the state's opening statement. By the way, kudos to Mika on my filthy morning habit for saying opening statement. Happy to help, y'all. Thanks for listening. But the prosecution said, yeah, Michael Cohen has some issues. But remember, everything that Michael Cohen tells you is going to be backed up by someone else who doesn't have those issues. I suppose, primarily speaking about old Hopi Hicks, whom Nitwit Nero simply adored. He certainly has a type. Hope Hicks, who looks like Alina Havana Havana Havana, counsel for the parking garage, who looks like melanoma, etc., 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 etc. And there wasn't any, there was no real rebuttal in terms of what the defense offered up. But the fact that, among other things, besides saying that he is innocent, they also said that Nitwit Nero is a family man. So I have a feeling that somewhere, someone jotted down on the prosecution side, family man, cheated on first wife with second wife, had three kids by first wife, had one kid by second wife by cheating on first wife, had another child with third wife with whom he cheated on his second wife. That child was 4 weeks old when he was cheating on third wife with the two women who will be taking the stand in this here trial. Oh, that's quality, Emilio. Ronalama, ding dong. Jerica, Jerica. Trump's not going to make it. Yeah. One more cowbell for Joey's excellent journal today. Is her a him or a her? Oh, billable Rick, I remarked on that when I read it, and I said we did that weeks ago and absolutely trashed a perfectly good edition of the program, but okay, just for you. Family man, Matt in San Francisco says, he's a multi-family man. yeah. thanks for the note this morning, Matt. I saw that, and I appreciate it. Because the first witness called today, he testified for about a half an hour. He will testify more beginning tomorrow. They knocked off at 2 today for Passover. They will knock off again tomorrow at 2 for Passover. But witness Pecker, Matt in San Francisco noted, Your Honor, the people would like to call Trump's Pecker to the stand. Noting, I swear, AI is just fucking with us at this point. Oh, that's good. But anyway, Michael Cohen was trolling Nitwit Nero today after he pontificated. Nitwit Nero sliming and slandering Michael Cohen outside the courtroom in New York City. Going to social media, Michael Cohen said, Your attacks of me stink of desperation. We're all hoping that you take the stand in your defense. They knocked off for Passover at 12:30 this afternoon. And Nitwit Nero had babbled on, saying, it's a case as to bookkeeping, which is a very minor thing in terms of the law, in terms of all the violent crime. This is a case in which you pay a lawyer, and they call it a legal expense in the books. In other words, dumbass just confessed. He went from saying it never happened to now saying, it happened, but it was just a legal expense, that's all. Yeah. And there are reports now that Ryan Bort over at Rolling Stone. Says that Orange Julius Geezer privately asked people close to him if they agree that the courtroom sketch artist must be out to get him. He doesn't like the courtroom sketches, which are not exactly, in no instance, are courtroom sketches known for being particularly flattering. They're done on the fly. And he says that they're drawn to make fun of him because, among other things, one of the sketches that made it to the public in the last week or so shows him, well, you know, Don Snorleone snoozing with his head down against his chest. I don't know, was there a little line of drool coming out of his mouth? And he smirked at the sketch artist at one point. When confronted with his boss's paranoia, Trump spokescreep Stephen Chung said,
none of these sources know what the hell they're talking about, and they clearly have no access to any type of factual information. These are the types of losers who'll try to peddle fantasy as fact because they live miserable existences.
My, oh my, up on the wrong side of the bed, Stephen. Goodness gracious. But this is, I don't know, maybe the sketch artist is the real world equivalent of Captain Queeg's strawberries. And he's really pissed off at the reports that he keeps dozing off in court. And his ire is directed particularly at Maggie Haberman, who over the years has done so much work to be, she has worked so hard to prove herself his stenographer, much like, oh, what was her name, the stenographer during the W era and the illegal war on Iraq. How fleeting is fame. But with every one of these stories, the picture becomes clearer of a man who is very definitely mentally and emotionally fraying at the edges, and not perhaps so slowly falling apart. My favorite tidbit so far, Matt in San Francisco, says Trump was sleeping, passed gas, which woke him up, and he shifted noisily in his chair. Charming. Yeah, this isn't just the first criminal trial of thank you, George in Korskull. Thank you, Judith Miller, New York Times. There she is. Yeah. Every time I saw her name back in the day, I always thought of the late, great Gilda Radner and her sketch on the early SNL of the Judy Miller Show. We had our very own Judy Miller Show going on for a while. But what I was saying, based on what Matt noted, was that this isn't just the first criminal trial of an ex-president. This is the first criminal trial of an ex-president that features lurid tales of his fecal incontinence. These things happen. There are lots of reasons they can happen. Medications can play havoc with one's gastrointestinal tract. Any number of medications. But if Noah Casler is to be believed, and recall that even though Noah Casler has said these things very publicly over the years, and not as satire, not as parody, but as fact, namely that Nitwit Nero has so long and so thoroughly abused stimulants like Adderall, that going as far back as when he was on The Apprentice, he was in fact fecally incontinent. In other words, it's a self-inflicted wound. I mean, right. And that, of course, plays into what Mary Trump talked about in terms of his odor. Yeah, dinner in the Eastern Daylight Time Zone has really taken it in the shorts today. Snack time on the West Coast, too, for that matter. Sorry, Billable. But it was described as a mixture of body odor, cosmetic fragrancing, and, like, poop. Now, here's a fun one. Assuming that he's close enough to the jury that they can get a good whiff, do you suppose that would be... Well, I think... Do you suppose that would make a jury more or less sympathetic to him? That poor man having to sit there shitting himself for 6 to 8 weeks... Thank you, Ralphs. Oh, Robin, a self-inflicted poo. And Micah was thinking along the same lines as Ralphs. She said, I just tuned in. Self-inflicted poo. There's a ram-a-lam-a-ding-dong there. Well, I will accept it. Thank you. So taken all together, this is day one. You know, he sat through jury selection, and that was almost too much for him. Now they're into the meat of the trial. They've done their opening statements. They've begun taking testimony from Pecker. And in fact, that testimony involved noting that he took meetings going back to 2015, that set up the catch-and-kill program. It was a three-pronged approach. Pecker would print flattering stories about him, print negative stories about any competition, and catch and kill any potentially politically embarrassing stories. And that's all coming out. I don't think that Alvin Bragg's team is mailing anything in here.
They're going to pile more evidence on top of more evidence on top of more evidence until they have absolutely buried him in it. Cynthia in the Bay Area. How would you like to have to sit next to that? If I were a lawyer, you couldn't pay me enough to have to sit next to Trump and his stinking odors. But there are some people who will do anything for a buck as long as the check has cleared. Meanwhile, counsel for the parking garage, Alina Habana, is out there bitterly complaining that
he shouldn't have had to have been in the criminal court this morning, and he shouldn't have to have been in civil court this morning. He shouldn't have to be anywhere. This is an epitome of a witch hunt.
Now, this may be subject to interpretation, but isn't it the epitome, not an epitome? Because A and an are indefinite pronouns, whereas the is a definite pronoun. A or an epitome means there are lots of epitomes, or at least more than one. Whereas the very nature of an epitome is that it's all there is. It just felt like an awkward construction when I saw the clip.
It's an epitome.
Every day, every time she opens her mouth, counsel for the parking garage devalues a little more, sometimes a lot, the law degree of everyone who ever graduated from that draw-spunky school of law where she got her J.D. Oh, and thank you, Jessica. This is helpful. I know now ever so much better what that CT scan they want for me does. Jessica says, 1 millimeter cuts means that it scans and layers your bone and muscles in 1 millimeter increments. Or I think that's how mine were done for my original facial surgery in November 2021. Speaking of, I was supposed to have a revision, but an administrative fuck-up at Mayo, in its infinite wisdom, canceled the procedure. Mostly, the individual who was in the estimate pre-approval department saw one item on the list that was rejected and rejected the rest of the items, which are very much covered under my trans healthcare policy. So, yeah, less than happy at the moment. I pray you don't suffer the same irritation with your surgery. I was actually offered a surgery date at the end of May, but it would interfere with the next training session for that sport I love but won't expound upon so as not to bore the Horn family congregation, since there hasn't been much interest when I mentioned it in the past, other than to say that since Mayo wants to play games with me, I'm going to put my passion first, and the surgery date can wait until the next break in training. My sport community loves and supports me. Mayo, not so much. So passion gets the priority. Hey, follow your bliss, Jessica, and you will get better and better and better, and you'll be roller derbying right along. And despite what you say, we're rooting for you, hon. Oh, dear God. Dinner's just screwed in the Eastern time zone and whatever time it is when you're listening to the podcast. Georgian Coarse Gold, Hope Hicks. Imagine having to smooth the wrinkles on Trump's trousers while smelling that. No, I'd rather not imagine that. And I feel sorry, George, for your brain that you did. That's brutal. Oh, and I mentioned that we have the $25 Bull Mussolini challenge on the table, courtesy of Joey and the gang. But there's also another one on the table, courtesy of Ralphs. Over at Tiny Kittens, Berkeley, a pregnant mama cat is finally having her last litter, if I understand correctly. Berkeley is feral and pregnant for the last time. Yay! I'm sure she needs and deserves a break. Thank you, Ralphs. Thank you. The Berkeley challenge for $25 is on the table, and that would get us down to $150 to go, if that's met. So there's $50 worth of challenges on the table as we move toward the close of the first hour of the program. The news cycle just runs so fast. Because here we are talking about Nitwit Nero's trial, while at the same time, we had a momentous day on Saturday. Through much wrangling and a great deal of heat and pressure, the House of Representatives managed to pass a bill to provide aid in the most important conflict on earth, namely the war to save European and global democracy in the long run, that's taking place in Ukraine. The bill also provided aid for primarily Taiwan, and of course for Israel. And it also gave, because this is what compromise looks like, it gave ByteDance, the Chinese company run by the Chinese government that owns TikTok, 9 months to sell TikTok to someone else who isn't the Chinese Communist Party. It can be expanded to 12 months if they're, like, getting close. And I, at least, I think I understand a certain amount of the urge to do that. It should be noted that the bill went through with the votes of members of the Democratic, barely a minority. The real statesmanship and the real statecraft being shown by Minority Leader Hakeem Jeffries and Mullah Moses Mike Johnson finally deciding that he just really didn't give a damn anymore about being threatened by Representative Sporkfoot from Georgia. And telling her that, essentially telling her that she can file all the motions to vacate the chair that she wants to. But that he was, in the final analysis, going to do the right thing. And it's a big deal because Mullah Moses Mike himself had voted previously against sending aid to Ukraine to fight for the survival of democracy. Because I remain completely convinced that if Putin were to be able to take Ukraine, he would follow next with Poland, Latvia, Lithuania, Estonia, in, as Joey mentioned in his journal note, an attempt to reconstitute the old USSR, only as the Russian Federation, with himself as the maximum dictator for life. More importantly, of course, the minute a Russian tank rolled over any of the frontiers of any of those states, well, it would be on with NATO, and that would be the world war that people like Sporkfoot and Andy Biggs and the rest of the feedum maggot carcass have been barking and grunting about.
Joe Biden's trying to get us into World War III.
No, you idiots. He's trying to keep us out of it by confining the war to Ukraine and to finally driving the ravenous hordes of Mother Russia from sovereign Ukraine soil. Interviewed by Kristen Welker over at Meet the Prostitutes, Zelensky said that he thought the aid would arrive in time and that this literally gives Ukraine a fighting chance to continue slaughtering the sons of Mother Russia, about whom Putin gives not a tinker's damn, and who are dying like flies, like rats. Because of the classic Russian strategy of throwing bodies at bullets until the bullets run out first, in hopes that the bullets run out first. And so what we can do now is hope that even though there has been a massive amount of unnecessary delay, that this will be sufficient to keep Ukraine fighting. In other news, just because it's Moran Monday, oh dear me. In Austria, the house where Adolf Hitler was born still stands. The town is Braunau am Inn. The government in Austria is busy turning it into a police station in hopes that it will make it unattractive to Nazis who still find it to be a shrine. And lo and behold, four German morons were busted on Saturday laying white roses at the house and taking time for photos, with one even giving the stiff-armed Hitler salute. Two sisters, this is wild, two sisters and their partners in their 20s and early 30s went to the building on Saturday to lay white roses in its window recesses. The white roses being particularly ironic insofar as the namesake of the website that for so long housed the podcast of this program, Ben Birch's WhiteRoseSociety.org, was named for the White Rose Society of Hans and Sophie Scholl. Sophie was beheaded for her opposition to the Nazi regime and immediately became a martyr. She was condemned in a show trial and then executed. And so it seems that these modern-day Nazis are, I don't know, trying to reappropriate the White Rose? So a police officer noticed the four taking photos, especially when one of the women gave the stiff arm salute, and arrested them and took them for questioning to the police station. The woman tried to say, "Oh no, we was only joking," but the cops said no. They found a chat on her phone in which she and others were sharing Nazi messages and photos. And so they have reported all four to the prosecutors for suspicion of having violated the Austrian law that says it is in fact illegal to display symbols of Nazism. Oh, for sake. The house itself is not marked as being Herr Schickelgruber's birthplace. That was a piece of propaganda dishonesty that was spread around during the war, that his real name wasn't Hitler, but it was in fact Schickelgruber. And I've often wondered if that was some sort of a pun, because I know the Yiddish colloquialism for dingus is schmeckle, and so I don't know, maybe it sounds a little bit like schmeckle grabber. I don't know. But hopefully they will be charged and convicted. And honestly, well, I'm looking forward to April 20th of next year, because that will be Easter, and that means that the maggots, hopefully in a deep and depressive funk from having had their orange god emperor lose in the November 2024 election, well, they can celebrate Hitler's birthday and Easter on the same day. And won't that be appropriate for them? And by the way, Matt in San Francisco's remark, AI is just fucking with us at this point. That makes me think, Emilio says, Trump could get his new AI black friends to represent him. They couldn't do any worse than he would.
I have an AI black friend.
Oh, dear me. Shrine, Clarence writes and says, the house of Hitler, you've got to be shitting me. Nothing, and I mean nothing, amazes me. My 7+ decades have been very interesting, to say the least. We do, Clarence. We live in interesting times. Oh, and I want to go back for just a second to the notion of compelling the sale of TikTok. First of all, I have no doubt whatsoever that there will be a lawsuit challenging the constitutionality of the legislation. I have no idea how that will come out. But the first thing when I read about that portion of the bill, First thing that popped into my mind was the law of unintended consequences. If they manage to succeed in compelling the sale of TikTok by ByteDance, can ByteDance just sell to anyone who wants to purchase it? Because if that's the case, I can actually think of someone who would be worse than the Chinese Communist Party to own TikTok. Now, I should say from the outset, I don't use TikTok. I suppose there's an argument to be made that it would be wise if, in fact, I did, considering the number of people there. I know another number of personalities who do this sort of work, do so on TikTok. It holds no appeal for me. But if you think about it, okay, let's just ask the question. Who would you rather own TikTok? The Chinese Communist Party? Or, she said, building suspense, Leon Scum. We've seen what a shitty little cesspit he turned Twitter into. Yep, there you go. Ram-a-lam-a-ding-dong for Ralphs. Worse than China? Elon Musk? Yes! Elon Musk. Worse than China. Because that jackass wouldn't hesitate for a moment to try to use some of his, some of his gazillions to try to control that platform. And there we go. Stephen, New York. Leon Scum or the Chinese? I'm thinking the best way to put it out of business is to let Leon buy it. Well, unfortunately, that has not proven to be a sound strategy yet with Shitter. People run there to post their excrements every day on X. And apparently his board doesn't care how much money it loses. Hell, what was her name? Robin what? Board lick spittle for Leon Scum at Tesla, who somehow thinks he's worth $56 billion over 10 years. Well, hell, she probably wouldn't bat an eye if she had any say-so over whether he could buy TikTok. Oh, well, thank you for the language lesson, Steve, in New York. Yiddish and German. Yiddish, schmeckle, little penis. Schmuck, penis, more like dick, as in asshole. Jewish, spicoli. You schmuck! German, schmuck. Jewelry. I remember when I was in German seeing a bunch of jewelry stores with schmuck on their respective marquees. I just remember driving down a busy commercial district in Frankfurt and noting that there were adult stores. You know, here in Merca, the greatest country in the history of the world on earth now, today, forever, in the universe under God. Amen. We keep our sex toy stores where they belong, on the sides of interstates, where there's plenty of room for tractor trailers to park. There it was on one of the main Straßen of Frankfurt. And it being Germany and all, I seem to recall there was probably red latex or red vinyl or masks involved. And thinking to myself, definitely not in America anymore. As for Teslas, Matt in San Francisco notes, there are so many in this state that they now have the nickname California Camrys. I can say that. I have two. That's good. California Camrys. It's kind of like when they, back when they started referring to OxyContin and hydrocodone as hillbilly heroin. I think California Camrys is a little less brutal. Thanks for that, Matt. I'll remember that. Brendan with a note, the White Rose. Could the White Rose used by these neo-Nazi scum at Hitler's birth toilet have been misidentified Edelweiss, the alpine plant the Nazis so adored? It's not important, just curious. I think whether you deem it important or not, Brendan, I think that's an interesting idea to ponder. But aren't Edelweiss just tiny little flowers? All I ever knew of Edelweiss was hearing Julie Andrews sing about them in The Sound of Music. Yes, Ralphs, those were there too. Frankfurt sex shop. Or ball gags, Robin?
What? No way more!
It was 2012, so I don't think they had come out with the Jerry Falwell Jr. Bespoke line of ball gags.
Oh, Becker!
Ralphs. Oh, well, thank you, Kevin in Colorado Springs. Kevin says, happy birthday, Annette. Also, it's time to do the right thing, Speaker Johnson. And he kind of did. So, the first of two challenges, the $25 Bull Mussolini challenge from Joey and Giraffe and the gang has been met, so that takes us down to $200 for last Friday. The Berkeley the Feral Kitten Pregnant for the Last Time challenge remains on the table at $25. That would get us down to $150 to go for last Friday. Thank you so much, Kevin. That's so kind. Oh, by the way, just the stupid things that show up in my mail during silly political season. I received a mailer the other day offering to sell me a bona fide $2 bill. Oh, really? That had been altered and yet was still legal tender. With Nitwit Nero's face. I've been meaning to bring it in out of the car for a couple of days. It's still there. I meant to bring it in this morning or this afternoon when I got back. It's still out there. Maybe I'll bring it in this evening or maybe tomorrow. But yeah, a $2 bill. That has Nitwit Nero's face stamped upon it and, you know, MAGA sayings or whatever. They are a simple lot. the maggots, aren't they? They really would, if it had Donald Trump's face on it, and they were at a circus, and they saw a sign with Nitwit Nero's face on it that said, "This way to the egress, $5, they would be digging in, they would be digging in wallets and purses to come up with the fin to pay to see Nitwit Nero's egress. I think it's some kind of bird, Muriel. Isn't defacing the currency a crime? I always heard that it was. But then again, many years ago, I had a friend who, during the summers, would go door to door selling some sort of cutlery. I forget the brand. But they had a pair of scissors that their big demonstration point was to take a shiny new penny. It had to be shiny and new, because new pennies are made more of zinc and they're just copper clad, and take those shears and cut it into a little spiral, like a tiny, tiny corkscrew. That seemed more like removing currency from circulation. I don't know. But God, can you imagine ponying up $5 or $20 for a $2 bill with Nitwit Nero stamped on it? Oh, that just makes my little head hurt. Oh dear, we've done that. Subject line, ball gags. Why, Roxanne, why? Why do you open the door to these kinds of things? Well, Ralph started this one. This one's on you, Ralph. Steve asked, "Didn't you report on a story on a prayer meeting Wednesday from the days of yore where EMTs answered a call at Chicago Rectory for a priest tied up and with a ball gag in his mouth?" Hell, which day that ends in Y was that one, Steve? I do remember the story from the days of yore in which a prominent Baptist minister in Montgomery, Alabama, who was in fact a dear, dear friend of the Reverend Jerry Falwell. Well, his wife had gone on vacation to visit her mama and her daddy and came home to Montgomery from North Carolina and found her good, God-fearing, upstanding, Bible-believing, Christ-centered, evangelical, fundamentalist, amosexual, Christian, Republican, Southern Baptist hubby, deader than Pharaoh's cat, wearing two latex scuba suits with not a ball gag, but the phallic variety, strapped into his mouth, and another one elsewhere. I even wrote a lyric, and back in the day, John Fox performed it, and I still have that recording. It was back in the day when the state of Alabama was at war with adult novelty stores, and it was literally illegal to purchase a dildo in Alabama. And so I took the rhyme scheme and the meter from the great John Prine song "Angel from Montgomery" and turned it into "Send me a dildo, I can't buy one in Montgomery," about that aforementioned minister. Oh, dear. Yeah. Well, thanks for taking me to that brain cell, Steve. Just one second. I had to ask the birthday girl if she would be so kind as to come back here and turn on the AC. It's getting a mite warm in here. It's almost 80. It's only 60 outside, but southern exposure and all of that. Nitwit Nero wasn't just in court today. He was also online, where he went to Tripe Social and posted a tripe and decided to unburden himself of the of his opinions on the ongoing campus unrest in regard to the Israeli slaughter of Gaza. And his takeaway from that, you figure, his takeaway from that was that the maggots should be as noisy as the student protesters. He triped, "Why are Palestinian protesters and even rioters allowed to roam the cities, scream, shout, sit, block traffic, enter buildings, not get permits, and basically do whatever they want, including threatening Supreme Court justices right in front of their homes? And yet people who truly love our country and want to make America great again are not allowed to peacefully protest. Go out and peacefully protest, rally behind MAGA, save our country. The only thing you have to fear is fear itself." So, facing charges that he fomented an insurrection on January the 6th, 2021, y'all, he's doing it again. He wasn't done, though. He also triped, "Unlike at Columbia University, where the radical left Palestinian protesters sat on the front lawn, practically took over the school, and screamed death to the Jews, death to Israel, death to America, and nothing happened to them, Lower Manhattan surrounding the courthouse, where I'm heading now, is completely closed down. So unfair." Because what he wants to do is get some sort of maggot army of Meal Team 6 and have them storm the courthouse. Maybe like January the 6th. I don't know. They can bring their own gallows again. And I don't know if you, for those of you who caught our filthy morning habit this morning, Jehoshaphat is back in high dudgeon over students protesting on campus. He and I are just a couple of months apart in age. He turned the same age as me just a couple of weeks ago in April birthday. Tauruses. And so, being of that certain age, my generation was too young to engage in any sit-ins or demonstrations during the Vietnam era. Our generation was the one that was told that the dim leader was talking to back in 2001 when he told us to go and defeat terrorism by going to the mall shopping and flying to Disney World, because if we didn't, the terrorists won. we haven't exactly been called upon to do a lot, this generation of mine. Late boomers, early Xers, what have you. And so I guess maybe Joe doesn't understand the power of youthful passion. Hard to say. But, oh, he's upset at Columbia. And he's upset at any university that doesn't just bring down an intolerant iron fist on anyone who objects to the wholesale slaughter in Gaza. Kevin in Colorado Springs, who is so far has managed to keep us from being a goose egg. Kevin needs company, someone to meet Ralph's tiny kitten Beckley challenge. $2 bill. Wow, a genuine $2 bill with geezer disgust is pasted on the front. Don't you know just how much howling and pearl clutching the Republicans would be doing if the Dems had come up with the idea to put Biden on any size dollar bill? However, for the Republicans, this is capitalism at its finest, whilst taking advantage of the rubes who will fall for anything, anytime. Signed, Kevin, not-so-anonymous Mets fan, in Colorado Springs. Oh, my God, yeah. I mean, Kevin, can you imagine if the Biden campaign did, $10 bills with Dark Brandon on them? You know, the glowing orbs of the red glowing orbs for eyes. God, they'd be having kittens with crocheted tails in the streets. After the show, Ralphs, I'll email you that song. I'd have to dig around on the computer to try to find it, and that would probably take a lot of time. But I'll email that to you. It was one of John Fox's greatest parody performances. Dave and the Blind, in celebration of Russian fashion, there's a man in Russia named Vladimir who for the last 35 years or so has been attempting to get the Russian government to take Alaska away from the United States. His name is Vladimir Vanosky. He used to pal around with real German neo-Nazis back in the 90s. And he's part of Putin's inner circle. Yet the Moscow Marjorie Trailer Queen is willing to do jobs for them. Maybe she's learning to handle things from Lauren Boebert, trying to teach her a marketable skill. See what Dave did there, handling things. Okay, rambling the ding dong. Anyway, Mr. Chernovsky is trying to make Alaska Russian again. It's all related. Your buddy, Dave and the Blind. P.S. Happy birthday, Annette. And happy Earth Day, everybody. Thank you. And, you know, the first Earth Day came along in 1970. It was the spring half of my first grade year. And I was big enough to ride my own bicycle to class. And I had this beautiful purple bicycle. Me, purple. Might have been a clue. And my purple bicycle got stolen from school on the very first Earth Day. And to this day, I know who stole it. And he was never punished. But happy Earth Day. As to the air conditioner, come on, Roxanne, says Matt. It was all that talk about wetsuits and dildos that got you all hot and bothered. Excuse me while I open a window.
Ha
just going to let that just stay there. Try not to comment and further endanger the remainder of the program, because dinner in the Central Daylight Time Zone is now at hazard. Dave and the Blind mentioned Sportfoot. And maybe this will mark some diminution of her power. But even the New York Post is mocking her now. I guess maybe the Post was a little slow to get into the party, but their headline reads this morning, "Niet Moscow Marjorie." It showed her in a Soviet cap. And even some on the right, if that is to be believed, are finally figuring out how toxic she is. Rupert's Rag said, "The score in Congress is now Jewish face lasers, lady, 0, common sense, 1. And she was not at all chastened. Sporkfoot said, "Mike Johnson's speakership is over." So he needs to do the right thing and resign and allow us to move forward in a controlled process. That's the talking point now. He needs to just resign. I don't think that's going to happen, because while the Democrats played along and helped out with the defenestration of Craven McCarthy, the Speaker of the House at the time, this time through, as a reward for having done the right thing for Ukraine, they very likely might even vote to let Mullah Moses Mike Johnson keep his job, which at that point in time would transfer fee simple title ownership of the rancid old mayonnaise jar that contains his testicles and is presently in Sporkfoot's refrigerator to the Democratic caucus refrigerator there in the break room. Barely 100 members of the Republican carcass in the House voted in favor of the Ukraine aid, but with all the Democratic votes, it was enough. And that's how the aid bill passed. On Saturday, Mullah Moses Mike remarked, "Three of our primary adversaries, Russia, Iran, and China, are working together, and they're a global threat to our prosperity and our security. Their advance threatens the free world, and it demands American leadership. If we turn our backs right now, the consequences could be devastating." It's an old military adage, he added, "but we would rather send bullets to the conflict overseas than our own boys, our troops." Well, look, the prodigal son finally comes home and once again erases the patriotism and courage, heroism and devotion to duty of every last woman or non-binary member of the military, and so our own boys, comma, dot, 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 our troops, as he realized what he had just done. Yeah, I guess we cut him a little bit of slack on that. Sporkfoot, however, has her eyes on bigger things, apparently. She thinks she's still in the running, or wants to be still in the running, as Nitwit Nero's vice president. You know, we talked about this a little bit last week. I remarked that whoever was his running mate would know that if he won, there was every likelihood in the world that that person, his running mate, if he won, would wind up being president of the United States. So there's probably a more than usual clamor for the job. And Flavio, hey Flavio, sweet Jesus. He always, always, always manages to make any situation about him. Hardly anybody showing up at the courthouse. I think his following is waning. I think Lawrence O'Donnell is right, and nobody's coming to rescue him. They'll make noises, but nobody wants to go to prison with him or for him. But out here in the hinterlands, they still want to vote for him. And the fact of the matter is, if Biden, as I hope and expect him to, mops the floor with Nitwit Nero's orange face, well, the maggots will still scream, "It was stolen!" And there will be, because they have not yet been sufficiently punished, more idiots willing to come up with more cockamamie theories for how it was stolen. And by the way, Ken Buck, who is now no longer a member of Congress and is free to speak his mind, talked to CNN this past week. That's where he named her Moscow Marjorie. Telling CNN, Moscow Marjorie's reached a new low, you know, during the Russian Revolution. V.I. Lenin talked about American journalists who were writing glowing reports about Russia at the time as useful idiots. And I don't even think that Marjorie reaches that level of being a useful idiot here. She's just mouthing the Russian propaganda and really hurting American foreign policy in the process. I think that's a slightly gentler way of saying that she doesn't even have to have enough brains to want to get paid for what she's doing. Oh, sorry, pollen. Really thick today. Oh, and we have this word in from The Guardian. Pro-Israel groups in the U.S. have said they're going to spend $100 million to get rid of progressive members of the House who have dared to criticize Israel. AIPAC is the organization in question. They think their $100 million will be enough to maybe unseat folks like Jamal Bowman, Cori Bush, Summer Lee. All of whom, by the way, in case anybody was wondering, are black. And you can expect the usual from AIPAC, that, namely that anyone who ever delivered a cold cup of coffee to Bibi Netanyahu is an anti-Semite!
For instance, back in 2022, AIPAC and its super PAC, the United Democracy Project, dropped a cool $4.2 million to knock out Donna Edwards from Maryland, and $1.7 million to prop up the centrist opponent, Glenn Ivey. Nothing like money in politics, huh? Money is speech, y'all. Just read Citizens United. Flavio, with another note, Michael Avenatti is just the same scumbag he always was. From a Fox News account, Avenatti had also been sentenced to 14 years in prison for cheating four former clients out of millions of dollars and trying to obstruct the IRS from collecting payroll taxes from a coffee shop that he owned. In a phone call from prison, Avenatti told the Post that he's been talking to Trump's legal defense team and expressed that he is willing to testify if called upon. The defense has contacted me. I'd be more than happy to testify. I don't know that I'll be called to testify, but I've been in touch with Trump's defense for the better part of a year. And lo and behold, the Trump team actually confirmed that they've talked to him. Avenatti now, as he searches for a friend anywhere, is saying there's no question the trial is politically motivated because they're concerned that he may be reelected. If the defendant was anyone other than Donald Trump, this case would not have been brought at this time, and for the government to attempt to bring this case and convict him in an effort to prevent tens of millions of people from voting for him, I think it's just flat out wrong and atrocious. Yeah, still a dirtbag. Randy Radar with a question. If Trump gets convicted and then pardoned, he would still be guilty of a crime, and then is he eligible to run? Well, theoretically, a pardon would require him to admit his guilt or acknowledge it. I don't know if it would relieve the disability, though. And then the second question is, who would pardon him? Obviously, he's made abundantly clear that if he can get reelected, well, screw it. He'll just pardon himself. Which is arguably illegal. So that, that's the one, Ralphs. So you've already got it in your iPad. Cool. Well, we are well past the halfway mark of the program. We still need to raise. We need somebody to jump in with $25 to meet Ralphs's $25. Berkeley the feral kitty who's pregnant for the last time challenge. Thank you, Ralphs, for making it. And that would get us down to $150 to go for last Friday, and we'd be done with fundraising for last Friday. And that's extremely important. We are not that far from almost a half a month's funding behind, with 9 broadcast days to go, counting today. So any help is wonderful. Sorry about pitching like this, but it's the only way we keep this whole thing going.
Let's run over to the stress line and see who we've got. Hey, welcome to the program.
Robin.
Wave.
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
How the hell are you, Miss Robin? What's going on up there in West Virginia? I actually did your weather report today, or actually looked at your weather. It's like 63 outside today, yeah?
But we had some wind, like 10 to 15 mile an hour winds, so it never really felt particularly warm.
Y'all are going to have tornadoes next week.
Shut up.
I looked at
Don't even say that.
Yeah, no, I looked at it.
Don't even say that.
I looked at a model. No, the reason why I said that is because they were checking our power lines today, and they checked the power lines here with helicopters, because they got money like that. And I was like, this is April something, and they're already doing the hurricane checks a month early, so they must see a model. You understand what I'm saying?
I do.
And I looked, son of a bitch, 9 days out. Really bad.
Now you got me looking at my weather app. Let's see. As far as into next Wednesday, it's looking pretty good. Not a drop of rain in the forecast so far.
Look at Saturday, Sunday. Next Saturday, Sunday, not the one that just passed. Starts getting murky around Tuesday.
No, this coming Saturday and Sunday, cloudy and a high of 70. Sunday, sunny and a high of 77. Wednesday, sunny and a high of 75. So I'll have to. I will keep an eye on it. The most I can get.
Well, it's a little higher than you. It was like it's around Michigan way, but Michigan's on your same latitude, and that stuff goes from west to east.
Well, the stuff that generates tornadoes goes from southwest to northeast.
My point exactly. Anyways, that's 9 days from today. We don't care about that. We're here today. I had a conversation with a MAGA person today.
Oh dear.
A good 2.5 hours. No, it was great. Because they were off the Fox pipe. If they're not, on the Fox crack pipe, they can listen to you. And then it ended up, and I got to tip my hat to HeadOn.live. It ended up with, who's the most productive, I said, who produces the most oil on the planet? And he said, I go, no, you want to make a bet? He goes, let me check this out. He goes, it's America. I go, and who has the most productive economy? They don't know. They're literally in a fog of bullshit.
Yeah,
don't know, and I wasn't ego based, because a lot of times we get caught in our feelings when we argue this stuff, and I argue facts, and I said, look, you're surrounded by propaganda. I get it, and the thing I want that pisses me off when somebody goes career politician, I go, would you let a butcher be your neurosurgeon?
There we go. Oh,
you want a guy who's good at that?
Yeah.
Why is that the only job? We don't want a guy who does that job. What the fuck? I want a politician who talked everybody out of their underwear and their left sock. That's the guy I want for, like, jelly beans. That's your guy. That's the one thing that I see people attribute to Trump that he doesn't have, the ability to schmooze. He can't work a deal to save his life, but he seems like the type of guy who can. Meanwhile, you got Biden actually doing gangster shit. Nobody notices. Like that whole Iran, Israel thing where Biden lets him fight for a little bit. He said, no, like, not stopped. But that's bad. You'll never get any credit for that. A regional war didn't break out. And everybody was doing for everything. That's only the single data point that I've seen. Did you see what happened with that Israeli strike? Robin?
There's some noise there, Wave, and I lost that last part.
I'm at the top. That was me in the harbor, and that was ocean wind blowing by. I just wanted y'all to experience that.
Nice.
No, but where Israel did a strike and Iran did a strike, and they both did their thing. They got it out of their system. They appeased to their caucuses, and now everybody can go home. And I think we even gave Israel a new invisible weapon and we showed Iran and by extension Russia, look, look what we can do. Do you want to do this? Everybody, I think that was from The Wire, one of them shows, and everybody's just settle the hell down right now and shut up. That's a politician. That's a bureaucrat. That's someone who's been doing it for 40 years. Knows where the bodies are buried because he has a receipt for the fucking shovel. That's Joe Biden. Nobody's tried shit with America. There's been some little Navy shit over in the Persian Gulf, but nobody's done anything. Every time a Republican's in office, regardless of the blather, that's when the country gets tried. It really does. And the world is a stabler place right now. In a world, quite frankly, that's lost its fucking mind. I can't let Trump off the hook for COVID. In fact, the farther we move away from that, the worse I feel. When you just wrap your mind around it. Fuck what he should have done. The things he said. I remember, and this kicked off because somebody online was talking about what were you doing during COVID. I lost my mind during COVID. I think I made calls during COVID, and I was batshit crazy for historical purposes. And what else were you to do? There was no safe quarter anywhere. There was no government aid. We're even in a science fiction show where you got the science fiction president go, all right, we're all going to be all right. That's all we wanted. And we didn't get that. I think everybody's blocked that part out. I don't. What do you think, Robin?
It's not an easy answer. You know, you say you lost your mind during COVID. I don't think anybody went through COVID and came out the other side the same.
It broke me a little bit.
Every time we go out
before that, I thought I had.
Every time we go out together, that involves me driving to like Beckley or whatever, Summersville. Annette will say at least twice, "I swear to God, Roxanne, people have forgotten. COVID destroyed people's ability to drive.
COVID destroyed empathy, I think, physically and neurologically, and it kept us in a constant fight or flight."
Well, I don't know if it was the actual COVID itself, Wave, as much as it was the deliberate disinformation and misinformation surrounding the disease itself.
Every day for 100 days. And they don't want to talk about COVID. They don't want to talk about abortion. Because I was talking to this person who said he was a Trump-type person, but I got him confused on that. I asked him, what do you think about rape babies? And he got all right. He goes, rape babies? What the hell? I go, yeah, 65,000 rape babies. 65,000 humans brought into this world who nobody wanted. And who nobody will be ever, whose births will never be celebrated. They won't be nourished. They won't be strengthened. It'll always be a burden and a reminder of something terrible.
Well, just remember, and this has nothing to do with COVID, in the last year or so, according to research in the states that all have total or near total abortion care bans, Texas leads the way with, I think, something, if I recall correctly, something on the order of 26,000 rape babies compelled to be born.
That's what I'm talking about. In fact, if you use the movie... And this is a segue, folks. Children of Men are an indicator. This is how we get to zero births. This right here. This fundamentalist bullshit right here. And the segue is, and I sent you a clip. I don't even know if you saw it. But, Mike, did you get the Dune clip on Friday?
I did not see that.
It was 10 minutes of Dune, the first 10 minutes.
Oh, wow.
And it's
I can't wait until that hits a streaming service.
It's on already. In fact, I believe. I've seen Dune 10 times already. And tonight I'll probably watch it again. It's really, 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 really good. It's one that people are going to, young people. It's the best movie they've ever seen. And I can't, it is like Gone with the Wind, Godfather, and Star Wars, and 2001, The Space Odyssey, all wrapped up into one. The man made a 6-hour movie. And here we are. Anyways, the point is, the whole Doom thing started because the Bene Gesserit decided, hey, no more abortions for anybody. And no more AI. We are here.
Oh, no more computers. That was
No, AI.
I've read the Dune series repeatedly. The commandment is thou shalt not make a machine in the image of a human mind. That's no computers at all.
AI. You can have simple computers that judge distance and stuff, because they have simple computers in Dune, but no anything that requires
But Thufir Hawat is sitting there fiddling around with an abacus wave.
Yeah, no. Well, anything that requires human decision making, only humans can do, which complicates everything. And we're right; these are the same people, is what I'm trying to tell you. These are the same fucking people.
And the Bene Gesserits have a breeding program by which they seek to bring peace to the Imperium by combining the bloodlines of people like the Harkonnens and the Atreides, ultimately leading to the birth of a male baby who will be the Kwisatz Haderach.
And they got him.
Yeah.
You know what? I'm going to do a tiny spoiler here. Aaliyah communicates telepathically with her mom in Utero. It is amazing.
Oh, no, I know.
That's how they pull that up. No, I mean, they don't do the 5-year-old Aaliyah. They do she does it in Utero, and she talks with her mom's voice, and it's terrifying. Dune 2 is terrifying. That's the other thing. It's sort of got an R rating. It's awesome.
So do I need to watch it? Do I need to watch? Okay, the wind is really awful, Wave.
All right, I'm coming out of the wind. I just heard it. I heard the echo of it. It's better. There we go.
I hope so. No, does this mean I need to watch it with my whoobie?
You need to watch it, and then you'll probably have to go find some IMAX, because everybody watches it on their phone or on their screen. All right, I gotta go watch this. But yeah, it. Movie of the year. Getting close to $1 billion in box office.
Wow.
$700 million.
So when we do watch it, I'll definitely have my big plushy shark right close at hand.
Yes,
I have a plushy shark.
I knew you did. You probably have a snuggie too.
No, just the plushy shark, because it's required for maintenance of my union card from the Amalgamated Trans of America.
But you've thought about a Snuggie. There's a Snuggie in some shopping cart somewhere. I'm sure there is.
Oh, dear. They just seem so complicated.
How is Annette today? Happy birthday, miss.
She is good. She is happy. She and the Golden Chip One. She and the Golden One are hanging out in the living room and celebrating her birthday.
We fall a little
bit more in love with that doggy every day. He's just
how old is the doggy now?
He turned 2 on January 1st.
Wow! And my daughter just lost the dog.
Oh, he's just such a sweet boy.
And wow.
And he will mug you for a begging strip rolled up in a piece of American cheese.
Labrador? Golden?
Golden.
Wow.
Golden Retriever.
So is it pure or pure Golden Retriever?
Absolutely. And he, he's smart. And he just absolutely is pure love.
Oh, my God. That's why I called today. That's it. Tomorrow is the 3-year anniversary of Carolyn's death.
Oh, my.
No, this is a good call. But sometimes we're steered by our subconscious, and then we're sitting in a position or sitting in a room going, how did I get here? Kind of, I saw a clip from The Matrix when they were in the original interrogation. So he started out, you know, trying to do drugs with some cute girl came to his door, and he's in an interrogation room with the agent. And he has a look on his face like, how the hell did I get here? And he goes, I want my phone call. And then the agent goes, how are you going to make a phone call without a mouse? That's still a chilling scene. The point is, I've had a lot of angst, and I haven't paid attention or directed full view at it. And I'm like, no, that's what it is. It's tomorrow. And your brain won't let you feel pain, especially future pain. It'll do anything to dissipate that. That's literally how we were designed. So I was like, what am I avoiding? And I was like, that's it. It's tomorrow. It's tomorrow at 11 o'clock. Huh. But today is the first time in 3 years, almost 1,000 days. That's why this COVID stuff is real. That I can verbalize that, thank her for everything she meant and did, and apologize for all the times I didn't say I love you. Let her know how crazy I was about her. And I want to thank the horn, specifically and generally, for helping me keep my shit together, if only as a digital beacon for who I used to be or remind me of the things that were important. And I gotta be honest, I haven't been listening as closely as I have. I mean, the horn's been my thoughts and my prayers, but I've been living a life of distraction, which is really easy to do in the Keys when the temperature's 90 degrees already. Did I drop that on you? It's 90 degrees. And the water's hot and people are naked and it's great. That week that you crave about West Virginia come about end of June, beginning of July, we're there already, which is cool now, but I'm already making evacuation plans, like real ones, not imaginary ones. And not to leave the island changes if it's coming, what direction to go, which is scary stuff to think about, but this is all climate change shit. And that was the point of the call. We finally got back to climate change. I said, that's what's important. We're within 2 degrees of life being fucked with, 2 degrees Celsius, 2.8 degrees. And already down here in the cradle of fish, the fish are starting to act funny. And all the fishermen got a look on their face. I don't fish. I'm scared of boats. I just like looking at the water, but I can feel their angst. And that's as your favorite news reporter. That's what I'm calling it. Because everything else is bullshit. The budget is bullshit. What Trump is doing is bullshit. This climate thing? We can't get past that. And I cut through the ice, as they say, in his brain. I'm like, he goes, well, that's, I go, no, yeah, but these storms are happening every week now somewhere. And I finally cut through. The Bly is not supposed to flood. That's never happened in my lifetime. That's some dune shit. There we go again.
Yeah, the cloud seeding storms, and that, you know, that just sent the maggots around the bend. And of course, I think it was Friday we had the story about Tennessee finalizing their law against chemtrails.
Yeah. Yeah, Tennessee. What the fuck is wrong with you, Tennessee? I went to college in Tennessee. I mean, oh God.
But,
oh,
I,
wow.
But, I mean, the logistics of it.
The Keys are very conspiratorial.
Yeah, but the logistics of it. How do you, because we have to understand, it's Moran Monday, so let's work through this way. We've got to take into account the fact that these numbnuts think that the condensation trails from jet aircraft are actually chemicals that are being sprayed over Tennistan for, you know, fill in the blank reason.
Robin, I'm going to tell you a story.
Wait. So if it's illegal to chemtrail Tenistan and commercial airliners can't help but fly over Tenistan, how are the airlines supposed to fly over Tenistan? It's pretty breathtakingly fucking dumb.
It's worse than that. Let's say there's a line of F5s coming to Tenistan. You don't want any climate mitigation then? Is that what you're saying? See, what most people don't realize, and what I've seen, and this sounds like some science fiction shit, but I've just seen it. Because anytime anybody yells any crazy shit, it has an acorn of truth to it. I have noticed high altitude planes altering the path of storms before and after storms. I've seen it for the last 10 years. So they are geoengineering. But if you don't geoengineer, what happens is you become the Philippines or you become China or something like that. All right. Shit is already so bad, they have to do what they're doing. I've seen them. I saw them. We were talking about it a couple of days ago, how they steered Irma. They kept it off the coast, and when it finally crossed over, they picked Big Pine, which is about 10 miles from me to cross over. So they picked a non-populated piece of land for it to hit the Gulf, because what they were trying to do, they're trying to loop it back, but bleed some of the energy, because it was headed to the oil rigs. Do you hear what I'm saying there? So they're already doing stuff. They have to. That's the only way you don't have trillion-dollar insurance payouts. That's why they can see so far. Because they have to. It's that bad already. Their first climate mitigation experiment was Andrew. And before Andrew hit, they redirected because it was going down the county line, Dade Broward County line, which is also a trillion-dollar payout. And it was a bright energy blast that I saw like 5 minutes before it hit. And then all of a sudden it shifted and it went south. The least populated place. Still killed 5,000 people, regardless of what Wikipedia says, because immigrants don't count. So the bodies stack and they still have to be refrigerated, but they don't count on the official statistics. And then what happens, and when you understand who our governor is, fuck DeSantis, then you understand Irma was a 5, all right? Irma came off, passed by the eastern coastline at 185 miles an hour, but by the time it got to Big Pine, it was only 130 stops. That's an insurance thing. That's not an actuality physics thing. The bent trees say 160 miles an hour. The bent signs say 160, 170, but the insurance companies only have to pay out a Category 4, which is about 100% less than you have to pay out for a Category 5. Kind of like not allowing people to have water breaks on 100-degree days. It's all some money bullshit, Robin. So the best we can do is get...
Do you know who invented the concept of cloud seeding?
Who?
A scientist by the last name of Vonnegut. Kurt Vonnegut's big brother.
For the last 30 years, we've launched numerous military satellites and not told anybody what was on them. In fact...
Oh, I don't think come on. I don't think we're manipulating the weather. Climate change is, right, but we aren't.
This is what I specifically was talking about. Okay, there was some kind of manipulation that I saw before Andrew, but before Ivan. Ivan was a Category 2 storm that sat off the coast of Florida for about a week, about 15 years ago, I think. Was it? Yeah. And it was moving at 5 miles an hour, which is terrible for a hurricane. You want it moving 30, 40 miles an hour. You don't want it moving 5 miles an hour. There was a persistent 30-mile-an-hour wind. meaning if you smoked a cigarette, threw some garbage in the air, some toilet paper, or some panties, or whatever they were, it would fly in one direction 30 miles an hour. Now, when that hurricane sets, like 12 hours before it picked a direction, because it sat there, it was one point it sat there the whole day and didn't move left, right, or it just sat there and built energy, which is also bad. I saw a B-52 looking like bomber thing fly up really high, and it dumped some stuff in the air. Because I was just sitting there staring at it, you know, smoking cigarettes. And the whatever they dumped didn't move in the wind. It sat in the high atmosphere. And they made like a line, okay? You could see a thin line. The storm bumped across that line and started moving to North Carolina. That's what I saw. We do stuff. But you don't, what was that thing you said? You don't want to upset the roots? Upset the roots? Because if most people knew it was that bad already, then they would change stuff. Maybe we'd use less gasoline. We can't have that happen, can we? I've seen way too many things.
But the bottom line is hurricanes.
I've seen it. And I haven't read this. I've seen weird stuff to where things go backwards. Things don't. The physics are being defied. And I'm not saying that as a wild-eyed, crazy person. And I'm not about to set myself on fire either. Maybe if somebody brought a blunt along, that'd be great. But other than that, yeah, no. Not wild-eyed. We are managing the environment as best we can, even though all the coral is dying and all the little fish are dying. And
I saw that report this past week that that worldwide corals are experiencing a bleaching event bigger and more pernicious than anything ever recorded.
The color of the water is different, and the smell of the water is different. Everybody's talking about it. In fact, there's a current, and I don't want to name any names because you never embarrass the keys. The keys will find you wherever they are. But there's I didn't mention where I was. There is a waste management scandal currently. So they're not treating the sewage. They made everybody dig up their septic tanks. Oh, yeah. Took everybody, you know, took 10 years, and now they're not doing it right, and it's killing the fish here, too. So everywhere there's fuckery. Plans within plans, fence within fence. And nobody knows what they're doing. Yet here we are. The point I was going to make was birthdays are important, and babies are important, and puppies are important, and good meals are important. And then amongst all of this, let us not forget to enjoy our little tiny fucking lives as much as we can. Because it's all we got, and we're all we have. And maybe that's enough.
Maybe indeed. I mentioned Kurt Vonnegut, who, after some 80 years on the planet, said he had come to the conclusion that we were put here to fart around.
Yep. Have a laugh or two, fall in love, have a dance to music, find your favorite song, your favorite meal, your favorite sunset, your favorite place, your favorite people, and then say the long goodbye. But if you could do that, you're better than most. Most people never find themselves that way. They find themselves at the end. They realize their life could have been whatever they wanted instead of what they feared it wasn't. I've hit a philosophical gateway to where, you know what? Today was the day I started giving a shit again. That's the best way to put it. I don't know if you remember the show True Detective. Did you ever see that one, season one?
No.
All right, that's your list. True Detective with Woody Harrelson and Matthew McConaughey. Television masterpiece, season one. Anyways, there's a scene where Matthew McConaughey, an ex-police officer, drinks and smokes inside the thing, inside the police interrogation, and you're going, why does this guy get to smoke and drink? Why is he so special? Well, Matthew has trauma. Once you see the whole series, the whole season one, you'll see it too. But Officer Cole, as he's called, doesn't give a shit. And I've moved off of that, where I finally give a shit again. Because I haven't. It hurt too much to give a shit. but I figured it out. I guess you're right. I became okay with the pain. And then the pain eventually passed. I don't wish losing a partner on anyone. But when the president of the United States makes it harder, that's where the feelings come from. That didn't have to go any of that way, and it did. She died alone because of COVID. I was there in the last 5 minutes. They robbed her blind because nobody watched because of COVID. She gave up because of COVID. She gave up January 6th. Do you realize that? 2021.
Really?
I remember when, because she was a lifelong Democrat.
Now, tomorrow is the anniversary of her passing, but you're saying she gave up is in...
January 6th, 2021.
Okay.
Because it looked like people were jumping over the wall at the White House or whatever the hell that was. And she just looked at me with tears in her eyes and shook her head. She did vote, though. She voted in that election. She made sure I put her ballot in the mail. It's the last thing she did with any kind of clarity or energy. That would take me to the hospital. But she gave me a look like, good luck. I can't deal with this anymore. Because she was a bureaucrat. She knew how shit was supposed to go, how much shoelaces cost, body armor, and boots. And transmission stations. She was an attempt. But she saw the government break down on TV, just like it does in all those piss-ass countries. She was done because she gave a fuck about America. She's one of those people, you know? Doing it right was its own reward. But she saw that. I've never seen that look in anybody's eyes since. And she was like, I can't believe this. And she let go of us, let go of this round. And 3 months later, she was dead. Thank you for letting me say that, get that out.
I'm sorry. I'm so sorry for your pain.
They're intertwined, though. Do you understand? They're intertwined. We didn't get to watch Star Trek. She went to question in the hospital. I didn't get to get her a coffee the way she liked or tell her a joke. All I saw was the skeletal remains when they called me to the hospital. She was like 40 pounds. The person I delivered 20 days before that was 90 pounds. And I still have a lot of trauma about it, but I can talk about it now without yelling or screaming, and I'm pretty linear. Which is, that's new actually, me being linear. And keeping on point and not being too emotional. But yeah, that all happened. And you helped me through that. And Todd calling in, and Tracy, and Scott, and all of you. So, I hadn't called in a bit, but I haven't been on a good chair in a while. So I had to tip my hat to the horn and call in. And
well, I'm glad you did. I think
I know that
we do think of our family, community, congregation members when we don't hear from them for a little bit.
Yeah, no, y'all needed a call, and I needed a call and be relevant and on point, as the kids say. but as I tell people. I fuck with you, I fuck with you. If I don't, I don't. I'm not fake or surface. What I believe in is what I believe in. Who I believe in is who I believe in. And I will die for those things. And what I don't even pay attention to. I can't even fake it. I'm at that point in my life, you know? I can't even pretend to care about what I don't care about. And my authenticity has harmed and helped me in this town. I have to remember to not be so, well, you got to live with these people, so you got to let a lot of, how many people in your town?
Maybe 1,000, two?
So if you went 10 miles around, how many people are we talking? 5,000? 10,000?
Yeah.
I'm getting used to that. I realize that since I've been a kid, I've been in apartment buildings that had 2,500 people in it. So my instincts and my nervous system has to adjust. You can't sneer at that guy today because you're going to see him tomorrow. In my mind. Because in New York, somebody makes a face, you make a face, you're never going to see that person again. It's a city of 10 million people. So there's a lot of latitude there. But here, it's different. Somebody pissed me off a couple months ago, and I got Bronx on him, is the best way to put it. And somebody actually pulled me aside and goes, stop being mean. I'm like, stop being mean is a thing? Damn it. But yeah. That is actually one of the things in my account. Don't be mean. Don't be a dick. And I'm adjusting to that. But hearing you talk about where you're from helped me adjust to that. There is right now, okay, I have to describe this to you. I might have to take a picture and send it. A tiki bar that's floating by with people sitting around it. It's moving about 5 knots. Yeah, it's an actual tiki, a floating tiki bar floating by. This is where I live.
You know, somewhere over in the Bahamas, I think the name of the back during my daydreaming about owning a sailing yacht days, I read about a bar in the Bahamas, I think it was called the Soggy Dollar, where the only access to the bar is by getting out of either, getting out of your boat and wading in, or swimming in, or whatever. But anyway, everybody gets to the bar soaking wet. So, yeah, I floating tiki
Robert,
bar,
I'm
down with that.
No, you have to see it. I just recorded it. God bless the modern operating systems, because if you can just try and imagine doing that 20 years ago, being on a call and taking a picture and sending a picture, that was science. That was Star Trek shit. When I just did that, I'm about to upload the picture to you. Because it's a floating fucking tiki bar with a motor. Who even came up with that? Anyway, this is getting windy. Can you jump with the substandaries? I'm going to send you a picture. I'll resend the Dune link. Please. Actually, just go to YouTube and go do a 10-minute preview. But I think Gmail sucked because they want money. I was new to come to this Gmail fuckers. It's the most unfree email I've ever had, but what are you going to say? So I love you, Robin. Love you, Horn. I'm passing the baton to somebody. Bring your A game because it's more on Monday in 2024. The year when we all die or Trump will get reelected. You know? Live every day as your last, people. Bye-bye.
See you, Wave. Take care, my friend.
See you.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Wave, calling from the Keys. I don't know why that happened, Randy Radar. He said, this just switched to the fallback stream. I don't see any buffering or anything on this end. I'll wait to hear from Brother Deacon Asa or see if there's confirmation coming from anyone else. That's kind of wild. But thanks for letting me know. Well, thank you, Jude. Jude just sent a photo of some lovely flowers growing in, I presume, her garden. Pass this on to Annette, as Kevin just emailed me. It was her birthday. Photo of my front garden with the first white lilac. A fragrance breathes its essence outward to her. The kindest of thoughts I am sending her way. I will show her the photo and tell her you said so, Jude. Thank you. She'll appreciate that. It's very sweet of you. By the way, the trouble I start here.
Note coming in from Jessica in Minnesota. Roxanne, not all adult stores are on the side of highways. Well, that's where we put them here, Jessica. We're decent folk. Remember, yours truly is employed part-time at Spencer's Gifts and therefore a certified smut merchant selling toys, whips, ropes, ball gags, etc. at the mall in the greater Rochester Metropolitan Co-Prosperity Sphere. Well, everybody knows about Minnesota, Jessica. Hiding behind that veneer of hot dish and Minnesota nice. We know what's going on. Oh, we know. See, that's the nature of the evasion. Sure. Say that it's all those weird kinksters on the left and right coasts, when all along, behind the drawn curtains of the little pink houses of the upper Midwest, there are dark and dirty things happening. You know what? I'm probably not that far from correct, especially when you consider that most of the porn is consumed by people. Of all the states in the Union, most of the porn is consumed in the good God-fearing states of Alabama and Utah. Well, now. Sometimes. Listen, it's More in Monday, y'all. We got about a half an hour left in the program. By the way, I changed the batteries in the 20-year-old clock. By the way, it's a Seth Thomas. I changed the batteries. And you know, there's not a sticker on the... I haven't had to reset this thing in so long. There's not even a sticker on the back showing which buttons do what. You know, because it's got a thermometer, it's got a calendar showing the date and the day, and it shows hours, seconds, hours, minutes, and seconds. I may get that sorted out. Yet. That's wild, Randy Radar. Repeat of a program. It didn't miss a beat. Let me go and look in the chat room real quick. Irish Dave, I don't know if Wave ever read Player Piano. Nice, nice, very nice. So many machines all in the same device. Something like that. Buchananism. Vonnegut was always good at inventing religions because he recognized that every religion on this planet has been invented at some point in time. I don't see anybody saying that the rerun stream has kicked in for them. Have you tried, Randy Radar, have you tried turning your router off and turning it back on again? I'm so ashamed. I'm just playing. That's me having fun laughing with, not laughing at. No, it's More in Monday, and I can't let the last half hour of the program it just go idly by without mentioning some peak Moranity. Naturally, one of those stories has to do with the man who looks like rancid hot dog water smells, Stevie Three Shirts, who may have actually shaved in the last 4 or 5 days, Mirabile Dictu. He had some MAGA goon on today. And decided to unburden himself of his suggestion for what his orange god emperor should do about the requirement that he, who is in the middle of a criminal trial and whose presence is mandatory therein, you should do about the fact that Judge Merchan has told him, no, you're going to be right here in this courtroom because we're not going to have any claims that you were denied due process because the trial was conducted without you.
which is exactly the correct ruling, and which Judge Merchan, it goes without saying, absolutely had the right to do. So the only thing Judge Merchan could do would be to continue the entire trial and nobody shows up because, well, Nitwit Nero's too busy with Barron's birthday, I'm sorry, graduation, and his desire to watch a constitutional hearing in which he will not be allowed to say a word and can only be a spectator. Well, Stevie Three Shirts has an idea.
Thursday's also on another topic, the immunity situation, one of the most important arguments in the history of the Supreme Court. Of course, President Trump won't be there. If I was President Trump, I'd go to the immunity thing and let him put me in a jail cell. And I'd go to Barron's graduation. I'd do both of them. Say, come on, dude. Stand up to him. Just do it. See the chips fall.
Ooh, isn't he butch? Of course, that's similar to what he did, just thumbing his nose at a congressional subpoena. It was found guilty, and then the maggot judge that tried the case just let him stay out on appeal and not have to deal with anything resembling actual justice because he, Stevie Three Shirts, the man who looks like rancid hot dog water smells, is special. Disgusting. But by the same token, given the fact that Judge Merchan, toward the end of last week, was described as apoplectic at Nitwit Nero over his witness intimidation and his carping loudly enough to be heard by the jury and to be picked up by the mic in the overflow room where all the reporters sit. See, they can televise to the overflow room. They just can't televise to the lumpen proletariat, us hoi polloi out here, who would like to form our own conclusions. Thank you very much, but I'm just complaining. You'd almost like to, in light of the fact that Judge Merchan has repeatedly told Nitwit Nero that there are consequences for actions, it would almost be fun if he followed the advice of his former advisor, who desperately needs Nitwit Nero to be reelected so he can get a pardon and eventually not wind up going to the joint like he's supposed to. And his sentence should have long since been completed. Yeah, Donnie, you big old tough guy. Just go to the Supreme Court and just go to Barron's graduation and tell that judge in New York to fuck right off up a tree. They're really trying to foment another insurrection. But of course, I don't know how many people actually watch Stevie Three Shirts rickety vlog. This is a video that statement was made for an audience of one sitting in the midst of an effluvium of old fat guy sweat and poop and cosmetic fragrances. Ugh. I think my post-show snack has just taken a hit, too. I mean, it ain't just y'all. I have to deal with my own consequences. But all of this is, it's an attempt to evade, to not have to sit there and hear his sins recounted one by one, because even if he gets thrown out of the courtroom, he's still going to be in another room watching the trial. He'll just be free to, snooze without being seen.
But that's not where the morality ends. Great heavenly days. I mean, I knew that masculine man of masculine masculinity, testicle-toasting Tuckio Rose Carlson, was a dipshit. But, like, way back in his bow-tie-wearing days when he was the right-winger on Crossfire and would routinely get his ass handed to him by people like... who am I thinking of? You know, one day it would be Tuckio Rose, and the next day, a former Clinton advisor, not old Serpent Head, the other one. But anyway, he sounded like he at least had something resembling an education. Let me see here. Let me see if I can explain this. Naturally, there's a story involved. When I was a junior in high school, the most famously difficult teacher in that high school was the chemistry teacher, who was only a few hours away from her PhD and had never completed it. The year after I graduated, she was named the National Chemistry Teacher of the Year by the American Chemical Society, and actually got a free week at the Greenbrier. I suppose she's gone on to her long home since then. She was a fantastic chemistry teacher. I guess my generation was one of the last ones to be actually compelled to learn how to use a slide rule, because she would not allow calculators in her classroom. And we all had to learn to use a slip stick early on. A central component, however, of her entire year of instruction was something she told us about on the first day. Because she explained that the final exam in May would be what was notorious, and we'd already long since heard about from other upperclassmen, her atomic theory test. And so we took notes all year long, and by the time the class was completed, the final exam was one simple directive: thoroughly describe the development of atomic theory from the ancient world to the present day. And we did. I think I got a B minus or a C plus, something like that, but it was the entire grade. The vast amount of the weight of the grade was from that one test at the end of the year. It was kind of a harbinger of higher level college courses. And God knows, I thought of it in law school when there was only one test at the end of the semester for the whole course. I mention all of this, though, because whether it was Thales of Miletus or Max Planck or Linus Pauling or Robert Oppenheimer or Albert Einstein or any of the other luminaries who led to the development of the atomic bomb and atomic energy, nuclear energy based upon nuclear fission, We all got a pretty good exposure to how we had gotten to where we were. We got a little exposure to physics. We got a lot of exposure to chemistry. And it improved our writing skills, too, because we had to make a cogent, fact-based, accurate argument. All of this I say as prologue to the fact that over there at the program run by the man we know and don't love as Pink Shrek, Joe Rogaine, who has made a career out of jacking off on air, you know, just asking questions, J-A-Q, Jack. And the questions he asks are uniformly, and I want to pick the most scientific term possible here, stupid, had none other than masculine man of masculinity, testicle toasting Tuckio Rose Carlson on, who admitted a couple of things relating to science, one of which was, gee, how do we even know where nuclear technology came from? Ecce homo.
Years more advanced than us. How much would we be able to detect?
Well, so I think we're pointing to the same question. I mean, I have no right. doubt that the U.S. government has technology that we don't know the details of. That makes sense.
Sure.
But, like, where did it come from?
Right.
I'm not even sure this is a separate question, but related.
Norblap 9!
I don't really know where nuclear technology came from, actually.
Really?
Yes.
Like the Manhattan Project?
Yeah, like, we know the Manhattan, and we know mm-hmm. something about the Manhattan Project, but, like, where exactly did that, you know, came from? Germany. German scientists were working on it. Okay. This is a separate conversation, but the one person I know who's really pushed it, I was writing a book on it, who's a trustworthy person and a friend of mine, I know you know him, said to me, actually, I spent a year working on this, and the closer I got to, like, okay, but what's the genesis? Like, where did this, what was the Isaac Newton apple on the head, oh, gravity's real moment for fission? Not clear. Weird. I don't know the answer, but
it is clear. It's not weird. It is knowable. But these are the modern-day Luddites, and they just happen to be maggots because they cannot live in a reality-driven world. Oh.
But here's the point. Clearly, government has technology that we're not read in on.
Right.
Of course.
That's the secret government. Read in on that phrase. I heard that phrase repeatedly. Lo and behold, over the weekend, I mentioned that I've been watching it. I feel like I accomplished something. I watched Suits over on one of the streaming platforms from start to finish. All 138 episodes. Not like I'd run a marathon. But and in Suits, you're going to read me in on this case. Oh. Gobbledygook language. But that wasn't even the height of the stupidity. The height of the stupidity was when they got around to, because of course they did, they got around to the theory of evolution. Because, well, apparently neither Pink Shrek nor testicle-toasting Tuckio Rose Carlson understand the meaning of the word theory. Oh, where's the damn mute button? Unmute button. Nope, that ain't it.
evolution is real, and if there is this constant, I don't know, but it's visible. Like, you can measure it in certain animals.
You can measure adaptation.
Yeah.
But there's no evidence that evolution. In fact, I think we've kind of given up on the idea of evolution. The theory of evolution as articulated by Darwin is, like, kind of true.
Right? In what sense?
Well, in the most basic sense, the idea that, you know, all life emerged from a single cell organism and over time, and there would be a fossil record of that, and there's not.
Right. You know, and those fossilized dinosaur bones were put there by the devil during the flood to confuse the unbelievers. You know what really drives me bananas? Wait, evolution? Primates? Bananas? Sorry. Is the audience for this program? Because this program is mostly viewed by millennial dude bros who are happy to be absolutely as dumb as Joe Rogan. But I digress.
And there's not a fossil record of transitionary species, like species that are adapting to its environment.
There's tons of record of adaptation, and you see it in your own life. I mean, I have a lot of dogs. I see adaptation in dogs, you know, through the...
Sure.
Litter to litter. But no, there's...
I mean, obviously, the golden one has adapted to understand that when Roxanne goes to the refrigerator, that's where the cheese is. See? Evolution's not real.
No evidence at all that, none, zero, that, you know, people, you know, evolve seamlessly from a single cell amoeba. No, there's not. There's not. There's no chain in the fossil record of that at all.
Where does this dipshit expect to find a fossilized amoeba? Or any other single-celled organism? Fossilized. I mean, this dumbassery just, it does. It makes me want to eat dirt and run rabbits.
And that's why you don't actually hear people, you hear them make reference to evolution, because the theory of adaptation is clearly, obviously true. But Darwin's theory's totally, that's why it's still a theory almost 200 years later, you know. We have not found that at all. And I
can't, him and that mouse in his pocket.
Can't even guess. I mean, I have my own theories on it, but they're not proven.
What are your theories?
God created people, you know, distinctly, and animals. I mean,
God. I know, should have saved it for Wednesday, but you can't just let this stuff slide by.
I think that's like, I think what every person on Earth thought until the mid-19th century, actually.
Right, but
it's not a new idea.
Jesus, I just realized something. Has anybody, I guess, were they separated at birth? Was testicle-toasting Tucky O'Rose Carlson separated at birth from his twin, the other masculine man of masculine masculinity, Ron Go-Go Boots Declantis? Because they've got the same laugh.
They didn't have computers. They didn't have a general understanding that we have today of the process.
Do you think we understand more now?
Yes.
Really?
You don't think that we understand more today?
We understand way less. We understand so little that we're actually sitting...
Yeah, all that knowing stuff is making us dumber.
...sitting here allowing, like, a bunch of greedy, stupid, childless... software engineers in Northern California to, like, flirt with the extinction of mankind.
What, Edith, huh? We know less now, testicle toaster, because we've got scanning electron microscopes. We know less now because we've got a Large Hadron Collider. We know less now because we've identified the Higgs boson particle, the God particle from which all matter derives. You see, he throws around that we when what he means is I. He's saying, I have no idea how the world works, and therefore, since I don't know it, no one does. Oh, my aching back. I mean, we've had some more ends for more in Monday. But wow. Stupidity in breathtaking living color. Let's pop over to the stress line again. Hey, welcome to the program.
Hi, the stream I'm getting on my phone is not the stream that you're talking about while I'm waiting on hold yet.
I have no idea why. That's why.
I'm getting a repeat. I'm getting a repeat of the Tracy program from about a week ago or so.
Are you using what, TuneIn or something?
No. I'm on Safari. Head on that line.
That just beats the dickens out of me because everybody who's written in they're referencing the content that I'm talking about right now. I mean, I just got a note from Cynthia in the Bay Area. Fucking self-appointed expert, doesn't know shit about shit. Moran Mondays is right, talking about, of course, testicle toasting Tucky O. Rose Carlson.
Well, I get it on low volume on my phone, but like I'm getting the Johnny Cochran and Chewbacca defense.
That's bizarre. Yeah, what was that? A couple of Fridays back?
I don't know.
Or maybe maybe last Monday? I'm baffled, Randy.
Wait a minute. Let me check this. Let's see. Yes, Safari. It's playing headon.live. Well, it just stopped.
I got nothing.
Okay, all right. So anyway, I thought I'd tell you that. Did I tell you about my theory about the nitrogen molecule?
Yeah, I did see that.
Yeah, you may not know how your microwave works. It excites the bond between the O and the H, and that's on a certain microwave frequency. And so that's how it heats up the molecule. And the old dual-wave microwaves used to excite another bond in a fat molecule, okay? And so those two frequencies in the old dual-wave microwaves used to heat up your food. Don't know if it's still dual-wave, but the magnetron emits microwave frequency that is resonant match to the OH bond. And when that gets excited, the electrons and that get excited, you get heat. So they turned microwave energy into heat that way, and it's a possible way you could affect the atmosphere by resonant matching to the nitrogen triple bond. If you had a powerful enough source, you could heat up the atmosphere that way.
It's a little worrisome. Yeah, I just got a note from Ralph. I just got a note from Ralph, and she said, I'm listening to the horn on my iPad on Safari. So
yeah.
All I can guess is maybe you need to reload the page or something.
Okay.
Or maybe you clicked on podcast and not live.
It switched over in midstream about a half hour ago to Johnny Cochran and Chewbacca. Now I'm getting the current program when I refresh the page. It's Safari on iPhone 15 Pro. So I don't know what went on there, but missed the beginning of your chemistry rant, which I'm sorry I didn't catch.
Oh, that, no apologies necessary.
Okay, all right. So anyway, I'll sign off, but like that's kind of weird. And it wasn't the usual thing. It didn't skip a beat. It went to the old program without interruption.
Don in British Columbia said, I've been listening all program and usually do on the Apple Music app. I think you might have burped, but it was subtle. Well, I try to keep my burps subtle, Don.
All right. Well, it's about time to the end of the program anyway.
Just so you know, Brother Deacon Asa said, you're coming through just fine. Randy Radar is getting a cached copy stored locally on his device.
Well, usually it doesn't last that long, you know, because it usually stores like about, I don't know, maybe a half minute worth of program on the cache topic.
I don't know. We have a mystery on our hands.
Okay. All right, well, thank you very much.
Yeah, my pleasure. You have a good evening, Randy.
All right, bye-bye.
Bye. And, okay, Brother Deacon Asa. You've heard the one about, thank you, Randy. You've heard the one about the Higgs boson, haven't you? A Higgs boson walks into a church one day. The priest gives him funny looks and says, we don't like your kind around here. The Higgs boson responds without missing a beat, but, Father, there's no mass without me. Ah. Yeah, there's another good one, and I can't remember it right now. It's about Schrodinger and I used to be deep into this stuff. Yeah, Schrodinger and Heisenberg in a car. It's funny in a nerdy kind of way. Father, there is no mass without me. God, it's like the piece of string that walks into a bar. The bartender looks at her and says, get out of here. We don't serve your kind here. And heartbroken, the string leaves the bar, goes out onto the sidewalk. There's a guy there just selling pocket combs. So the string buys a pocket comb and takes it and teases out his top and loops himself around and back under and back through and walks back in the bar. And bartender says, hey, you're that string that was just in here. Didn't I tell you we don't serve your kind in here? And the string looks at him and says, I'm afraid not. I'll never forget sitting at lunch many, many years ago. And I was with a friend, and her sister was there. And she said, Robin, tell sister's name the afraid not joke. And I remember looking at her and going, well, I'm not going to do it now. And you know what? I'll let myself out now. Thanks, everybody. Thanks to our PayPal and Patreon subscribers. Thank you. Thank you so much, Kevin, for the kind birthday wishes for Annette. And thank you for meeting the Bull Mussolini Challenge. Oh, Ramalama Ding Dong, Bull Mussolini, yeah. We've got another challenge on the table if someone would like to meet it from the overnight crew, being the Berkeley the Feral Cat on her last litter of kittens challenge, courtesy of Ralph's. That would get us down to $150. Right now we're $200 away from being fully funded for this past Friday. Madly racing to the end of the month in the desperate hope of paying bills. Thank you to our challenge makers, our challenge respondents, our a la carte contributors. Thanks to each and every one of you who share your precious finite time engaging in the program in whatever manner you so choose. Thanks to our all-volunteer staff. Thank you, Roger, in the chat room. Thank you to our... And by the way, Roger, I got your note. Thank you. Thank you to our news ninjas. Thank you, Brother Deacon Asa, HeadOn.live. Please remember to like and subscribe to each episode of the podcast. Subscribe on a couple of platforms. Leave a comment here and there. It really helps the visibility of the program. Thank you, John Fox in Australia. Thank you, Ben Birch, WhiteRoseSociety.org. Thanks to the hardest working, bravest people I know, the folks at Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net, 25 plus years at the forefront of the struggle for human rights and environmental justice in Appalachia, and a proud union shop. Please stay safe. Find out when you get your next booster. Keep track of that. Wear your mask if you're around maggots because, well, they spew viral particles, among other things they spew. Wash your hands. Don't touch your face. Use your hand sanitizer. Carry it with you, pocket or purse. Maintain your social distance as best you may. And if Nitwit Nero comes babbling toward you alongside his little hot dog, rancid hot dog water smelling protege and minion, telling him, I think he should just go to the Supreme Court hearing anyway. Well, avoid those two Nijinskys like the plague, because they are. And always, 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 Wayne and Gina, it's all for you. Later.